Chapter 8. The canvas of the tent did little to moderate the volume of the voice within. It carried clearly to where Sean waited with his escort.
Must I drink coffee and shake hands with every wryneck we catch? Have I not already enough work for 10 men, but you must bring me more? Send him to one of the field cornets. Send him to Pretoria and let them lock him up. Do whatever you like with him if he's a spy, but in the name of merciful providence, don't bring him to me.
Sean smiled happily. Jan Polis certainly hadn't lost his voice. There was an interval of comparative quiet while Beaver's voice mumbled within the tent. Then again the muted bellow.
No, I will not! Take him away!
Sean filled his lungs, cupped his hands about his mouth, and shouted at the tent. Hey, you bloody Dutchman, are you afraid to meet me again? You think I'll knock your teeth out like I did the last time? A few moments of appalling stillness. Then the clattering of an overturned stool and the flap of the tent was thrown open. Into the sunlight, blinking in the glare but scowling, the red hair that fringed his bald pate burning like a bushfire, and his shoulders hunched aggressively, came Jan Polis. His face turned from side to side as he searched for the source of the insult.
Here!
Called Sean, and Jan Polis stopped dead. Uncertainly, he peered at Sean.
You! He took a pace forward, and then, It is you, isn't it, Sean? Ha!
And he began to laugh. His right hand, that had been clenched into a huge fist, unfolded and was thrust forward.
Sean, hell, man! Sean!
They gripped hands and grinned at each other.
Come into the tent, man! Come on in, come on in!
Once they were inside, Jan Polis's first question was,
Where's Katrina? Where's my little sister?
And immediately the smile was gone from Sean's face. He sat down heavily on the rimpi stool and took off his hat before he answered.
She's dead, Polis. She's been dead these last 4 years.
Slowly the expression on Jan Polis's face changed until it was bleak and hard.
How?
He asked. And what can I answer him? Thought Sean. Can I tell him she killed herself for some reason that no one will ever know?
Fever, he said. Blackwater fever. You did not send word to us?
I did not know where to find you.
Your parents, they too are dead,
Jan Polis interrupted brusquely, and turned away from Sean to stare at the white canvas wall of the tent. There was silence between them then, as they remembered the dead in sorrow, made more poignant by its utter helplessness. At last Sean stood up and went to the entrance of the tent.
Dirk, come here.
Bijani pushed him forward, and he crossed to Sean and took his hand. Sean led him into the tent.
Katrina's son, he said, and Jan Polis looked down at him. Come here, boy.
Hesitantly, Dirk went to him. Suddenly, Jan Polis dropped into a squat so that his eyes were on a level with those of the child. He took Dirk's face between the palms of his hands and studied it carefully.
Yes, he said. This is the type of son she would breed. The eyes.
His voice stumbled and stopped. A second longer he looked into Dirk's eyes, then he spoke again.
Be proud, he said, and stood up.
Sean motioned at the flap of the tent, and thankfully Dirk scampered out to where Imbijani waited.
And now? Jan Polis asked.
I want passage through the lines.
You're going over to the English?
I am English, said Sean.
Frowning a little, Jan Polis considered this before he asked,
You will give me your word not to take up arms with them?
No,
answered Sean, and Jan Polis nodded. It was the answer he had expected.
There is a debt between us, he decided. I have not forgotten the time of the elephant. This is full payment of that debt.
He crossed to the portable desk and dipped a pen. Still standing, he wrote rapidly, fanned the paper dry, and proffered it to Sean.
Go, he said. And I hope we do not meet again, for next time I will kill you.
Or I you,
Sean answered him.